When two innersea superpowers go to war, the ripples are felt throughout the region. A group of intrepid heroes, or should we say, intrepid rebels, join a league of righteous freedom fighters to liberate their people from the binds of infernal tyranny. Nefarious forces from without and within will do anything to stop these hellbreakers. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM for this diabolical defiance.
I'm Rue, my pronouns are they, he, or ze, and I play Nalastri, a Strix champion of Arshea, devoted to breaking Chalaxian shackles.
I'm Isis, and I'm playing Mizera, formerly of the Golden Arrhenius, a Nephilim human sorcerer hoping to save Isker and herself from hell.
I'm John, and I'm playing Thaddeus T. Millwright, a halfling inventor with a sinister secret.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Augustus Manshuxley, a gnome lawyer and witch.
And I'm Mark, playing Flack, a goblin ranger who has something to prove.
And now, on with the episode. 20th of Aridus, 4725, Absalom Reckoning. The sounds of battle echo across the field between Breach Hill and Citadel Altarian. The ring of steel against steel. The shouts of the soldiers, in pain and in victory. The stomping of iron boots and horse hooves on the ground, turning to mud from spilled blood. And most terrifying, the roar of a mighty dragon and the exhalation of a plume of hellfire. We see brief snippets of each of these as each sound grows loud and then fades into the background. Suddenly, silence and darkness. That darkness is soon pierced by a light, and that light resolves itself to be a beautiful androgynous figure with light gray angel's wings and draped in multicolored gossamer fabric. Their one hand reaches out and opens to reveal a rose whose red petals drip through their fingers like blood. Nalastri, you wake from this dream, or was it a vision? However, unlike many previous nights since the Battle of Hell Knight Hill, you don't feel panic gripping your chest, but a sense of calm. You can see through the slats of the window in your temporary residence over the past month or so, a room in the temple slash inn called Cadence Keg. The dawn is breaking. 18th of Roba, 4725 Absalom Reckoning. Now, Lester, you stretch your wings. The left one is basically fully healed. It'll take some time before all the feathers grow back, scorched as it was in the blast of dragon breath. You were lucky to come out of the battle not more scathed than that, or so the medics say. Rue, hi, that's you. You're Nalastri. Tell us a little bit more about them.
Nalastri is a coastal Strix with very dark, like black and like almost that oil slick color that feathers can have.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Feathers. And as they get up, they start putting on their chainmail and checking everything. Nalastri is a champion of Arshea.
Mm-hmm. And so it's probably doing a bit of a, like a soldier's, you know, just checking every bit
checking
of armor,
everything.
Checking every strap, every bit. Yeah, doing yep. That sort of standard
kit.
Morning routine, so to speak. Yeah. During your convalescence this past like about 3-4 weeks, you haven't been completely idle. You know, you've been healed enough that you were able to walk around, but there's been a little bit of more of a, one would say, sort of a mental convalescence more than physical one with all the, you know, the magic, divine magic that you've been able to use to your benefit. But during that time, you, the founders of the Hellbreakers League, Phoebe and Alceo Demetrius, they came to Breach Hill to recruit new members for the fight against Cheliax oppression after the Eagle Knights and the forces of Breach Hill and the Hellbreakers League won the Battle of Hell Knight Hill, right? And tonight, you know, you'll meet with some other junior members of the organization to escort a wounded Eagle Knight to Sarangelo, which is the league's secret HQ. Don't tell anyone. And so are you doing for the rest of the day? You have what do you do anything to prepare or anything you want to do?
I think sort of like because they haven't been able to do sort of their full like normal like workouts and things mm-hmm. while resting. Now that they're more healed, I think their routine consists of just sort of a walk around the entirety of the like battlefield. So like a perimeter check of Breach Hill based on the battlefield.
Yeah. Yep. And so you go out into the town. The mood in the town is become more celebratory. The past few weeks have been spent cleaning up the battlefield, helping out the wounded and whatnot. But since all that's happened and with victory, the town is feeling a little bit more celebratory, at least in the past couple of days it has. It's a fall day, pretty crisp this early in the morning as you sort of walk around. But people are actually beginning to put up essentially decorations around the town. Tonight is going to be basically not return to normalcy, of course, but we finally did it. We won the battle. We're going to actually maybe be able to kick back and relax and try to get back to our semi-normal lives at this point. And there are still some Eagle Knights about who are, convalescing. Some of them there just to not occupying Breach Hill exactly, but just sort of maintaining the perimeter. The Hell Knights got kicked out. They fled back southwest to Logos, right? The Citadel has been reclaimed. That's probably where most of the Eagle Knights are hanging out. It's a day. You walk past, I guess, a workshop, and we kind of linger on that workshop because that is the workshop of one Tad Millwright, halfling. John, that's
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
Yes. Thaddeus T. Millwright, but most people call me Tad. I'm very, very excited about all kinds of equipment and machinery, but in particular, this awful, awful battle that's been out there has provided me with some interesting new things to incorporate into my innovation. And as you walk by, you kind of see Tad has this looks like just a small rod, and he kind of shakes it, and all of a sudden it kind of opens up and all these things, and it's this rifle. You know, it's like a Rocket Raccoon, when he takes a gun and all of a sudden
he's
kind of aiming
it
and fine tuning things a little bit. And says, oh, didn't see you there. And kind of turns around and folds it all back up again. Hello, is there anything you need worked on?
That was astounding.
Oh, this? Oh, yes. My Bessie is quite astounding. Yes, I would say. I'd agree.
Oh, well, I'm just going for a walk. I find it helps with the healing process and making sure everyone's doing well. You seem to be doing well.
Well, it's physically, I would say I'm doing fine. This war is awful stuff. And what's going on with the battle, I just wish there's more I could do. Oh, man.
Would you like to come on my walk with me? I think I know someone who could help you, who knows what, who understands what you want to do, but I would rather not talk about it so publicly.
Sure, I'm happy to go for a walk, and let me just put away a couple things. And you see he's got this, his workbench is just kind of a mess of things, and he kind of shoves a bunch over here, shoves a bunch over there, and collects a couple things, throws them in his bag. Okay, I'm good. Let's go. Oh, I'm Tad, by the way.
Nolastri, but if that's too much, you can call me Nola.
Nola, Nolastri. I like both of those.
Nice to meet you, Tad.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you as well.
And just whatever small amount of information they have gleaned from staying where they are and like had their like couple of meetings with the like Hellbreaker agent that they have been working with. Nolastri will fill Tad in on all of those as well while they walk.
Now, Tad, you didn't like fight in the battle per se, did you? Or were you just on the outskirts of it, do you think?
No, I was not involved. I was kind of observing what was happening. And I'm really interested in, you know, especially the Hellenite technology. I've kind of heard about some of this, and to see how some of their larger siege engines and pieces work is quite remarkable.
There's probably like one or two of them that were left on the battlefield, damaged beyond repair, but you've been able to kind of like get in there and kind of get some bits and bobs for your gun, for your rifle there.
Yes, always on the lookout for that.
For sure. Yeah. And what the two of you know, that the war itself is kind of not present in this town. Right? From what you've heard, it's kind of moved on to the Chelyax-Andoran border, which is a bit south from where you are. But there's still Hell Knights probably wandering about here in Izgur. There's other bits, you know, people who maybe are more loyal to Chelyax and whatnot. So it's a good idea to sort of, you know, keep things hush. The Breach Hill, though, seems like a very cosmopolitan, but definitely they don't like the Hell Knights for sure. They don't like Chelyax for sure. It seems like they're like definitely especially after what has just happened, they're, you know, anti-occupation, anti-tyranny for sure. You feel as better safe as you could if you're as a part of a, you know, insurgency sort of rebellion.
Yeah.
As you could be. And so the person you've been sort of talking to, like you sort of, Alceo and Phoebe kind of recruited you, and then they left and went off to Eladir to do some business. But there, you've had some missives from Sarengel, and they're basically telling you like, hey, there's going to be a couple more people who are going to be showing up. When you meet them all, you're going to meet an individual named Ethryn Howell, who is, wounded Eagle Knight at Cadence Keg, of course, because that's where they've also been. You've probably even seen them about convalescing in the same place that you have been.
I'm catching that name again. Ethryn Hale?
Ethryn Howell.
Ethryn Howell. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. H-O-W-E-L-L. Why not? Why not? What'd you say? There's a sketch provided so you know who to look for. There they are.
Whoa.
Got a little bit of an old scar. And, you know, also probably will be semi-recognizable by the fact that they have lost their one arm. But that's all happening later this evening. And this is where I was going to move on to Ron a little bit. The two of you sort of talk about it. And John, I assume, Tad, you are all for just kind of joining in on this insurgency.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Okay, I wanted to do something. I just don't know who's doing what and how to. I'm good with things, not people. So how you make contact with a group, like, I have no idea. So I'm like, oh, they made contact with me. This is great.
It's great. It's helpful. It's very helpful. So from from Breach Hill, we kind of maybe move out a little bit here to the outskirts, the surrounding territory, where we follow a surprisingly wizened or a rough goblin. Mark, this is Flack. He's moving through the woods, sort of, I assume, surreptitiously, not going by the roads. You're heading also to Breach Hill. You've joined the Hellbreakers League some time ago, maybe in the past couple of weeks, and this is the mission that they've asked you to go. Come here to Breach Hill, meet some fellow agents, escort this knight down south. So tell me a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about your character, what they look like, what they're doing, and whatnot.
Well, as you mentioned, he is a rarity in that he is an old goblin. Mm-hmm. Most goblins pass away by their own misadventure much earlier in life, but he's managed to hang around. He is decked out in leather, but not that spiffy leather you buy in town. This is homemade stuff. Incorporating pieces of various different game animals, badger, possum, squirrel, fox, and you're probably pretty sure, if you get close to him, you're sure there's probably some skunk in there as well.
Sure.
Some of it's had the fur scraped off, some not. He's also got on his head a cap made from a coyote skin with the face kind of hanging down just on his forehead.
Nice.
He's got a bow, got a pair of dog slicers on his hips. And yeah, he's been traveling up from the Skitterwood, which is a bit of a ways. Somehow word got down there that this rebellion was starting, and for reasons of his own, he feels like he needs to be a part of it, and he's going to go lend his aid.
Fair enough. So you, yes, the Chitterwood. So you're right. Old enough to have remembered the Goblin Blood Wars.
Yes. He was a young man then, but he does remember. He didn't participate. He basically stood before his tribe and told them this was a stupid idea and they were all going to get killed, and they didn't listen to him. And he decided he wasn't going to stick around and watch them destroy themselves. So he took off to the woods and has lived out there for a very long time now. Okay. And, they got decimated, and he feels
I can imagine. And so, at some point, let's say in the past, like two and a half weeks, you were traveling maybe close to Sarangelo, a sort of city, on the river, and, got caught wind of these Hellbreakers. Maybe you even sort of like, one of them spotted you, let's say, and was like, and thought someone like yourself might be interested. And it was a roundabout conversation to begin with, just asking you how you felt about Chelyax and whatnot without sort of tipping their hand. But they let you know, eventually they sort of took the temperature, and you're like, oh, this here goblin here probably wants to, could help. And so you were recruited in that sense. And then from there, you've been sort of like traveling northeast, to go to this first sort of like this sort of mission. And maybe you're traveling around a bit, and they give you, got a missive that sends you up here. You're going to be meeting an Eagle Knight named Ethran Howell, maybe some other, Hellbreakers. And so, you know, whoever's with them, you'll go ahead and travel with them. So, wanted to ask you, like, what do you, when you get close to Breach Hill, are you just going to stride in through the streets? Or are you taking a more surreptitious route? You're not sure about this place.
Yeah. He's not real trustful of people, especially Longshanks, big people.
Yeah. The big
people. Short people are better, but, goblins are the best. Yeah, he doesn't really want to just be all out in the open. He's better at staying hidden. But he'll probably need to talk to somebody to find where he needs to go at some point.
Do you wait until like closer to nightfall and dusk is happening, or do you just,
A good idea. Yeah. He'll hang out outside of town, and when it starts to get dark, he'll head on in and see if he can find somebody that'll tell him where he needs to be.
Okay. You do sort of, there's, you know, as you get closer, there's lots of like, candle lamps kind of lit everywhere. Mm-hmm. You get the impression that there's a sort of a town-wide celebration going on. And people are just sort of like maybe sort of in the streets. It is chilly as being a sort of a fall night, but this doesn't seem to bother people because many of them have been warming themselves up on the inside with a touch of alcohol. So, you know, and they're just, mugs out in the open, frothing with beer and clinking their wooden mugs and pewter mugs with each other, and cheering. And when you sort of like, get spotted or just sort of approach, step into some firelight, you're greeted warmly. Hey, it's a goblin. Hey. And they like, someone thrusts a mug into your hand, and just sort of says, "Hey, what brings you to Breach Hill?"
Oh, I'm supposed to find someone.
Oh, you're looking for someone? Well, I'll tell you, if you're looking for anybody who's anybody around here, you probably want to head over to Cadence Keg. It's a temple, but it's also a bar. Best beer in town. They brew it themselves there.
Okay. Oh, good. Show me point the way.
Yeah, he sort of points you in the direction. Okay. It's pretty, you sort of looking down the street, and it's, you know, pretty obvious that there's like basically sort of a crowd of people outside, sitting in on stools and benches and whatnot. And then also sort of, it's, you know, well lit up and clearly a fire roaring on the inside, and whatnot. People coming in and out with frequency. Okay. And as you sort of get closer, Maybe this is a little unfamiliar to you, but you're not met with screams of, ah, goblin. It's more just sort of like, hey, no one's paying attention to you. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Was I told who to contact or who to look for?
You're looking for an Eagle Knight named Ethryn Howell.
Ethryn Howell, right. Yeah. Okay. And I've got some sort of idea how to identify that person?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You'll be able to spot them. You've given a little... probably is a goblin, not necessarily big on things been written down. You definitely have a little sketch of their face.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
gonna walk into the bar like no one's gonna stop me, right? Okay, this is a little weird, but he'll walk into the bar.
Okay, great.
Look around, see if he can find this person.
It's packed with people, and we'll as you sort of walk in, we're gonna kind of pan over and to the mass of these people. Ron, are you here?
I am here. Yes.
Okay, great. Augustus Manchuckley Esquire, I assume is always on is often on time.
Oh yes.
Punctuality probably a something of his virtues, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Especially when there are people to be helped, as there are now, Augustus Oleander Monshuxley, Esquire, will be at hand.
Indeed. So you've been here. You're basically in town, and you're sort of noticing that everything's sort of very celebratory. People are having a little bit of a party, and you know to go to this Cadence Keg. But tell us a little about who you are and why you've joined the Hellbreakers League.
Well, Augustus Oleander Manchuxley, heir to the vast Manchuxley fortune, is a gnome. Not a particularly tall one, with bright blue hair, wide blue eyebrows, and an excellent blue mustache. Looking over some paperwork, war is, as many will tell you, a terrible thing. It is not just for the loss of life, but the loss of rights and property. And I could not help but take my legal skills and apply them to those who have been maligned or misaligned with what they owe or deserve under the terrible indignities that Cheliax has delivered unto these people here. I've got an assistant with me who is another gnome who looks remarkably like Augustus does. Augustus gives sort of a casual wave at this gnome who has greenish hair and wide greenish eyebrows, but seems too young to have developed a luxurious mustache, and say, and this is Hod, my valet and assistant.
Is Hod a nephew, a child of yours, or something else? You don't have to tell.
Well, something entirely different, perhaps. That is to say, the very best assistance that a barrister of my stature, if you'll forgive the pun, warrants.
Okay. Ron, I'm going to kind of like cut away from you here for a second. As the tavern is sort of beginning, you know, really filling up, people are cheering. You can spot you're sort of the person you are meant to contact over in the corner. People are sort of crowding around them, buying them drinks and whatnot. And some other people are coming in to look for them. But we also, we kind of move back out of the tavern. As night has completely fallen, and standing past in the shadows is another figure, Isis. Let's talk about your character here. Mizera, is that how we pronounce Mizera. That? Mizera. Tell us a little bit about Mizera. What's she doing here?
Are we like in the tavern proper already?
Well, you can be outside. I'm starting you sort of like outside of town, sort of like. Yeah,
I think she is at this current point kind of waiting to enter. Mizera here, not fully sure what her standing is with this group, but she's a kind of Chillaxian woman standing, and she's like wearing this cloak so it is difficult to see, but there's like a couple little bumps that kind of pop on the top of her cloak there, that are, you know, clearly trying to cover something up. And she's wearing, like, and it's, you know, it's long. It goes all the way down to her her legs. And she's sort of, I don't want to say awkwardly standing outside, but she's kind of, like, peeking in, waiting to see if a number, like, you know, what the number of people inside are. And kind of...
Yeah.
Waiting until there's a large enough crowd that she can step in and not look, you know, and not draw a huge amount of attention to herself.
That's fair. Let's talk a little briefly, just sort of like your background, your history. Like, why have you joined the Hellbreakers League as sort of surreptitious and secretive as you are?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Mizera was once an orphan of the Goblin Blood Wars, which I believe was what, like 24, 25?
About 20 some years ago, yeah. Yeah.
28, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, 28.
Yeah. Was it 28 years ago?
Okay.
Yeah. And you can see now she's an adult that looks not much older than that. She grew up and was brought up in one of the great and totally reputable and honorable orphanages headed by the Sisters of the Golden Arrhenius. Completely yes. And totally, you know, reputable or whatever it is.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Impartial.
Some years back, she finally made it to the town she grew up in. Saw that it was completely destroyed from the war, and it really, like, you know, while Chelyax did not defend us in that war, they unfortunately were the ones to pick up all the pieces afterwards. So. She has been the, you know, so she has been in their care for quite some time, but since seeing the things that have happened to the country now, she's been pretty upset that, like, this is happening all over again. I don't want another war to happen. So she's kind of picked herself up a little bit and dragged herself over here, despite, you know, not being fully sure where she stands in all this.
That's fair. Yeah, I think probably another member, maybe even at one point on the road, you happen to meet Phoebe and Alceo Demetrius, and they kind of saw your internal conflict and have convinced you a bit to sort of join their sort of fomenting rebellion of sorts, and have sort of, you know, since then you've gotten some missives to sort of come here to Breach Hill and meet this Etherin Howell. And as you're standing in the sort of maybe in the alleyway, you can see this place is pretty packed. It is basically, you know, people coming in and out all the time. It's clear that some of the Eagle Knights and other survivors of the war are here, and they're sort of celebrating the victory that happened about three or four weeks ago. There is a, you know, it's a lovely tavern. You take this time to sort of step in, and now you're all inside this particular tavern/temple. It's pretty expansive. It's meant to be a meeting hall space. There is more meeting hall and tavern than it is temple. Although there is sort of clearly an altar of sorts. It's essentially sort of a couple beer kegs to Cade and Kaelin, right? And the mood here is very convivial, very jovial. Everyone's cheering and clinking mugs, and sort of the beer seems to be flowing pretty freely. Who's picking up this tab? You're not 100% sure. Yeah. Whether it's actually just the largest of the temple or if someone has sort of like plopped down a bunch of money and not really cared. And a lot of you can see as you sort of enter and spot, you see Etherin. They're difficult to miss. They've got this distinctive blue, black, and golden breastplate decorated with a single golden eagle epaulette. And there's right now several townspeople crowding their table, thanking them for their service, commiserating them about the loss of their left arm, and of course, buying drinks. Etherin is like looking flattered, but a little embarrassed by all the attention. And they're like, "Fellows, I appreciate the chat and the drinks. But I must attend to business as they are kind of like spotting one or two of you in the crowd, especially you, Nola, right? And then there's like, hip hip hooray, cheers for the Eagle Knights from a crowd, and they just sort of leave plenty of space. Ethan kind of waves you over, Nola, and he's like looking a little bit relieved to talk to sort of a fellow soldier at this point. He's like, ooh. They're like, everyone's in high spirits. Is that right to be? Would you like a drink? I've got an open tab, it seems like.
Oh, certainly. Thank you. And sorry, I want to make introductions. This is a friend of mine. This is Tad.
Tad.
Hey, I'm Tad.
Good to meet you. I'll have a drink.
Meet
you. Good to meet you. Are you also a...
Oh, good to meet you too.
A friend of Nola's here?
I'm a friend of Nola. Yes. Yes.
Terrific. Terrific. I believe we're a few others will be coming to join us. So
yes.
Meantime, please have a drink.
Fun.
So the other three of you can approach whenever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know if that's what you're doing.
Oh, I will approach right now and offer my hand up towards the Eagle Knight in order to shake it and introduce myself. Augustus Oleanderman Shuxley, Esquire, pleased to make your acquaintance. I've noticed you're something of a hero, my friend, and heroes are in desperately needed in these days.
No, I was just doing my duty. I wouldn't call myself a hero.
Well, I think if we were to put it to a vote, I'm sure you would be roundly defeated.
I bet I would. But I think the time is now to sort of dispense these theatrical heroics and to get down to some business of helping your country.
Ah, yes. Yes, business should take precedence, especially when the business is seeing to aiding those who are most in need of it. Yes, I thoroughly agree.
Would you like a drink?
Perhaps just a little bit of sipping whiskey, if you don't mind. Nothing for hard, of course.
Well, yes, some tumblers of whiskey are brought to the table. Mark, Isis, do you guys sort of walk?
I'll approach.
Yeah.
Sort of the two of you maybe sort of approach simultaneously. This little goblin, this sort of Isis. Are you like tall and willowy, or are you just kind of like?
I think I'm average height.
Yeah. This sort of this dichotomy of heights here, especially with your hood up still maybe and being a little taller than it needs to be.
Yeah, a little taller than
we know
it
why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it would normally be on other people's heads. And so you know, Ethan sort of introduces themselves, gets everyone sitting down and more drinks are happening. And, you know, there's
snacks.
And snacks, of course. Snacks. Yes.
Not a Caden Kalian bar without, rather, temple without beers and pretzels.
There's pretzels, there's nuts, all sorts of stuff. He does sort of like, you know, do a little toast to when everyone is there, when everyone has a bit of a drink. And he's like, to the future.
Future.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
To the future.
Indeed, indeed.
The crowd hushes and the fiddler kind of stops mid-tune as the clear tones of a bell ring out. The bartender, a tallish woman, is clearly herself is also a cleric of Caden Kalian of what she's wearing. She's got a kind of barkeeper's apron, but it's, you know, got some fanciest some stuff around the thing. And she leans over the counter. She's kind of almost kind of stands up on a stool from behind the counter as she's rung this bell, and she says, "Come now, friends, in the name of all things fun and good, as our beloved Caden Kalian would have it, it's time for tonight's contest." And cheers erupt. Yay! Excited. And be like, oh, well, what's going to be the theme tonight? What's it? And Bryn has her own sort of mug and she raises it and says, "In honor of those who drove the scum out of our town, the theme of the evening is past battles. Tell us your stories, brave warriors and wily hunters, and let's see who tells them best." And Ethernet, from what I've heard, Ethernet explains, this is a sort of a tradition that Bryn has here, Night of Tales, and gets people talking, and gets people buying drinks. So I'd love to hear if any of you have any tales to tell. You should get on up there. And people are sort of lining up. It's almost, you're hearing some people, some Meagle Knights are telling their stories of the battle that just happened. Some other sort of more local people are talking about like a daring hunt that they participated in out on the plains, that sort of thing. Everyone gets a good cheer, even if it's like somebody who comes up there and she's like, "Well, once I was a new thing," and then they're like, "Yeah, who cares? Come on!" And they get both bolstered and
an excellent effort, regardless.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Does anyone want to get up and tell a tale?
God, what tale do I even have that's not gonna like freak everybody out in here?
I think Nolastri has definitely used this one before, so they're not going to win.
Yeah, but, we'll see.
But the just like, I think sort of also inspired by the dream and almost vision that they had this morning, Nolastri will sort of step up and say a moment of thanks to all of the Eagle Knights who fought, and personalized thanks, because Jeez. When they were swooping, doing some reconnaissance for the Hellbreakers during the battle, they flew directly in the path of diabolic dragonfire. And for a split second, they thought they were dead. But they felt something pull them back and only burned part of one of their wings, oddly enough.
Okay. Excellent.
And as they like finish, they take a moment and touch the pendant they're wearing of Arshea's holy symbol and then head off.
Yeah. So, but let's have a dice roll about it. First one of the campaign. So this is going to be a performance check or, let's say performance check.
Yeah. Let's see about that one.
Fair enough.
Alrighty.
Oh boy.
Hey.
Well, I think there's nowhere to go but up, I suppose.
Yeah, I was like, can I hero point that?
You sure can. Why not?
On a very first roll, let's start off.
Go.
With that.
Let's start off right.
There you go,
a little
better.
Bit of excellence. Oh no, they did not do the thing.
It didn't do the
Keeley roll. Oh,
there
no.
should be. Why is it not in here? Oh no.
I would expect a Keeley roll.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Wait a second. We gotta put that on. Why is that not on? I really thought I turned that on.
I'm so sad. This is the worst performance I've ever given in my life.
Gosh, I didn't turn it on. Anyway, but with Keely hero point roll, that is of course is 18. Which leads to rousing applause, right? Yeah, cheers. And sort of it's sort of like, yes, hip hip hooray. Well fought. That kind of thing. And you know, Ethryn raising their glass as well.
And they do a little swoop to get down because I have the like momentary flight feet, so they swoop down
swoop
to
a little
back
bit. It's a little bit and that sort of we love to see the spectacle of that. Does anyone else want to tell a tale here this evening?
Well, I'm certainly not one to pass up the opportunity to speak in front of a group of people given the ability to do so. I only heard of the tales of the heroics that happened here secondhand. I was in the gnomish town of Umok, not far from here, but certainly close enough to hear the tale of the oppression that has swept across Dizgr and the powerful and valiant folks that were able to fight back here, there is one thing that distinguishes a horde of a rabble from a genuine uprising, and that is legal legitimacy. So I have come to ensure legal legitimacy of the those who would see themselves free from the chains of their oppressors. I offer my services freely, which is quite a exception from my normal hourly or per diem rates, to see to it that all of you are able to enjoy the fruits of freedom that you have fought so hard to acquire. Thank you.
Brynn actually stops you before you step down and says, well, that's a fine offer, young gnome, or maybe you're not young, Master Gnome, but maybe tell us a story about a legal battle that you've won in the past.
Well, I do have quite the tale of the rule against perpetuities and the division of property among a particularly... shall we say, a particularly sprawling gnome family. I'm sure you will like this one. And then I proceed to get into such legal minutiae that it is mere moments before I've certainly lost anyone but the most esoteric of legal professionals in the crowd. But I keep punctuating it with laughs at points that seem to be the place in the story where I've made some clever legal maneuvering. Yes. So its subject is probably lost on everyone, which is reflected perhaps in the fact that I lack any sort of training in performance.
I think there's probably like a couple people who are definitely drunk enough to be like hanging on and like not really understanding what you're saying, but like every time you say something, you indicate that you've said something clever. They're like, yeah, heck yeah. Do you want to roll or do you just want to say that?
Oh, heck yes, I would roll.
Let's see what you got.
Maybe I've done better than I suspected. Oh, perhaps I have done better than I suspected.
You're pretty charismatic, so yeah, I think there's a contingent of maybe not to say barristers in training exactly, but people who, you know, in this small village, they need to do law stuff here too, right? And they're taking a break from their normal jobs. Today, it's the evening, happy having their nightly happy hour. So you've got a loud bunch of cheers from that section of the crowd.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I will return to my sip and whiskey with a smug sense of a job well done.
Yeah, indeed.
All right.
Yeah. Mark, you thinking about it?
I couldn't possibly do worse than that boring story. So... me tell you about how me got me hat.
Ooh,
this hat right here. Yes. Tracking this coyote. Very, very cunning. Wily, one might even say.
How do I kick Mark from the call?
He run underneath things. He round things. I follow. I track him. I always find him, and finally I get him, and I made him into his hat.
Yay. Yeah, there's some hunters there, like, you get him! Yeah. You get him, goblin!
And let's go ahead and...
Yeah, give me a performance.
Yep.
I mean, look at this. It's pretty 17. Good. Oh, do you do a little bit of singing with it, in the little goblin song with at the end there?
Why not? Sure.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers ring out. Things are going quite well again. You know, Ethan raising their mug. Anyone, John, Isis, you guys, want to try any of that?
Yeah. So Mizera will kind of step up and she'd be like, I will admit I don't fully yet have great tales of heroism, but that is why I have come here today, is to hopefully earned some to tell. However, I respect that you all deserve some form of entertainment. So, in replacement for this, and she like pulls out her backpack and just pulls out like a violin.
There we go.
I can offer you some accompaniment.
Lovely. Bryn looks at there's like a fiddle player in the corner who's been sort of like playing before, and they're like looking at two of you, and the fiddle's like, yeah, do it, let's do a little duel. So you do a little dueling fiddle violin, right? You know, kind of thing. Give me a performance check.
Sure.
Also excellent. And Bryn sort of is like, well, you know, it's great to, we see a battle won firsthand, and you know the fiddler kind of taps their hat towards you, and cheers are ringing out through the tavern. It's lovely. And John, what do you think?
A little bit better about coming now.
Oh, yeah. I'm really nervous in these kind of social situations here. I'm really better with things, but
Ethan puts their hand on your shoulder. He's like, you don't have to go up if you don't want to.
Oh, well, there was this really, during the battle, you know, watching the Eagle Knights and the Hell Knight kind of siege weapons, machinery, that was really cool. I could talk about that, but I'm not good at performing. So
no.
He wants to kind of explain in technical detail how the machine kind of got destroyed here and the weaknesses and stuff like that. So I'll do a performance check.
Use your special.
Yeah, I'll point out those drunkards who are laughing at anything and say, if you're speaking from your heart, those guys will laugh regardless.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God, you guys are on fire. All right. Yeah. So. Soldiers are out there. They don't mind hearing a little bit about some technical aspects about, especially siege weapons kind of like being destroyed or attacked and whatnot. Yeah. So you kind of, again, maybe not tell us the story of a personal victory, but you,
I saw this off, and it did so this. And
you
it
saw
did
it happening.
This.
It was cheers, Luna cheers, cheers. And, yeah. I think at the end of the night, there's like another sort of like hour or so of people, chatting and doing these tales and whatnot and carousing, and it get kind of like after maybe about half an hour after Tad goes, it sort of devolves a little bit more into just kind of like not quite drunken karaoke, but just more like singing than it is sort of like telling tales and old bard tales, that kind of stuff, right? But then, like, you know, Bryn rings the bell again, and she says, you know, oh, it looks like, oh, this is always a delight for everyone who's participated. Thank you once again. Thank you. And of course, we must declare a winner. But tonight, I think from what we've seen, we have a surprising tie. The young miss and her violin battle, and the gnome's story of his illegal triumph. I think of one tonight. And she actually like plops a bottle on your table, just courtesy of the house for the winners. And then she also kind of like sort of like, yeah, everyone's cheering, rousing cheers that sort of ring through. She's looking at all of you, and she kind of gives a bit of a wink to Ethan, and then she passes to I think one to you, Ron, and one to you, Isis, to each a healing potion, and says, Caden told me you might need this on the road ahead. So each of you has a minor healing potion.
Nice.
Oh, good.
I mean, Isis and Ron, the two of you have each
winners.
A minor healing. The winners, two winners, exactly.
Okay.
Excellent. Excellent.
So again, Ethan is like, all right, well, after another sort of 45 minutes or so of continuous sort of general partying and chatting and whatnot, Ethan's like, I'm feeling a bit tired. I'm going to turn in for the night. We'll get you back here first light. Sound good?
Excellent. Okay. Yes, of course.
I want to go back to my workshop.
Okay.
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 Sounds good.
Having seen Ethram's condition, I want to try to craft a prosthetic.
Okay. We'll
with some of the parts.
Maybe do that as we sort of move along. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe some of you are camping outside sort of city limits. Maybe, you know, Flack, you're probably doing that. Yeah. Ron, you probably get a room somewhere. There's the Wizard's Grace is a local inn, or the Great Dream House, a temple to Desna, which is a little more free.
The local inn, definitely.
Yeah, fair enough. This particular, you know, Cadence Keg is basically full up for convalescing soldiers. So you've got to kind of sleep elsewhere. But then you do, you get some sleep, you wake up the next morning. And Breach Hill is a bit of a buzz. Everyone who sort of isn't sort of hungover from last night. There is a sort of a page kind of looking individual who is just in the process of nailing up in sort of Breach Hill Town Square this sort of like proclamation. And there's just sort of like a crowd of people sort of gather around it. And this sort of like paid, you know, this sort of officiant is just sort of looking at everyone, and everyone's kind of glaring at them because they've kind of read what it is. And he kind of like scampers off before anyone can say anything to him. As you sort of meet Etherin in the morning, they say, "This is unfortunate. It looks like news out of Elidir. Steward Hedvin has kind of put some sort of bounty on the quote unquote dissenters and revolutionaries." It's frustratingly vague to read. I'm sure, Master Augustus, you would see that it is not any kind of legal, this full of legal loopholes, one might say.
Yes, yes. Not skillfully done at all.
Well, I think it's done that way on purpose, to sort of so that anyone can, casting a wide net, one might say, to try to get any sort of anti-Chalaxian activities. And this is just going to cause private citizens to sort of use it to settle feuds with their neighbors, turn in people they don't like, that sort of thing. It's just another step in this puppet government's descent to total fascism. Yeah. I'm afraid we're just going to have to travel a little bit more incognito.
Okay.
Than I thought we might have to. And as you can see, Etherin's not wearing their Eagle Knight stuff anymore. They sort of point to this sort of like backpack that's clearly got this armor in there, their armor in it, and says, "Well, I think we're fine here. Obviously, Breach Hill is good people. Nothing like that would happen, but we don't know what's going to else happen out on the road. But the sooner we get to Sarengallo, the better."
Oh. Right.
"So if you have anything you need to take care of, otherwise, let's head out."
Oh, leave now.
Okay.
And so you begin the march sort of southwesterly, a couple days it's going to be Etherin sort of suggests, instead of like, you would normally travel south to the river and maybe take a boat west. Mm-hmm. They just want to go straight southwest across the sort of, there's roads and whatnot, but it's more less, more walking, I guess, and less boat riding. And so you set out as the people of Breach Hill sort of mutter discontentedly about this sort of new political news. And that's where we'll sort of end it for tonight, and pick it up next time and find out what happens on the road.
That's good. Yay.
Awesome. Yay. Yeah.